ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Hi, I'm Patricia Carvelis, the host of the Politics Now podcast. And navigating what our rapidly changing world means can be tricky.
There's an argument that there's still a lot of uncertainty, isn't there, around the drivers of the global energy market?
That's why I'm joined by the sharpest political minds at the ABC to break down what each development means for Australia and how the government is positioning.
The Prime Minister's keeping his options open. He can increase that reduction or he can take it away altogether and go back to the system that where it was before the war started.
That's Politics Now with me, Patricia Carvelis. Find it on ABC Listen.
Pauline Hanson wants to be the next Prime Minister. So, will avoiding scrutiny from some of the biggest media outlets in the country help her get there? Will the Trump-like tactic be a turnoff for voters here? Today, former ABC correspondent Monica Attard from UTS on how Senator Hanson is banning some press coverage and whether there's any way to stop her doing it. I'm Sam Hawley on Gadigal land in Sydney. This is ABC News Daily. Monica, let's consider this growing push by Pauline Hanson and One Nation against certain sections of the press. Now, it came to the fore again this week at a press conference in Victoria. Just walk me through that.
Well, it was something else. In Melbourne on Monday, Senator Hanson was revealing the seven candidates and I believe one incumbent who had run for the party at the November state elections in Victoria, but reporters from The Age, from The Guardian and from the ABC were explicitly denied entry.
ABC were denied entry into here and The Guardian. I'm not putting up with their rubbish. I'm not putting up with their spin, their lies whatsoever.
Now, the media who remained were permitted to ask questions of Senator Hanson and they did query why those three outlets were banned.
In a democracy, shouldn't all media have access to a press conference, particularly if you're, as you say, running to form government at the November state election?
Did you say that today?
That democracy, I'm sorry, that democracy doesn't happen on the ABC at all. And I'm sick of it's not fair and just in their reporting. So if you want to criticise and have a go at me not putting the truth across, you're not giving me the truth of democracy either. And so therefore...
She has barred journalists before in Farrah, as we know. The ABC was chucked out there and the rest of the media stood by and did very little.
We're based in Wodonga. We're based in Farrah. We serve the local community.
Come on, we'll have this discussion out here.
Her chief of staff, Ashby, was captured on camera ejecting ABC regional journalists from a campaign event.
See you later, guys.
And at that event, on the eve of that Farrah by-election, as you say, James Ashby, who is now her national director, but he was her chief of staff at the time, in this vision that was captured by Channel 9, he can be heard saying, bye-bye, ABC.
That's the ABC going, guys. Bye-bye to the ABC.
At that time, she actually questioned Ashby. She said that she clearly didn't agree with what Ashby had done.
Okay, so Monica, James Ashby, he made the decision on the first occasion to kick the ABC out, but Pauline Hanson was clearly in charge of this decision to keep the ABC, The Guardian and The Age out of that press conference this week. She favours a far-right-leaning website known as Rebel News over the ABC.
She does indeed.
Aren't you cutting off your nose to spite your face here? Don't you need your message to get out to regional Victoria in particular, and you need the ABC, the national broadcast, to be able to carry
out? We've got Rebel News here. I'm happy with them. Thank you.
We can have the discussion as to whether or not Rebel News is a news website. It's clearly not a news website. It's an advocacy website. It's a Melbourne-based team led by Avi Yemeni. Now, Avi Yemeni himself is an Australian-Israeli far-right agitator who's run unsuccessfully for the Victorian Parliament. So it needs to be closely looked at, it needs to be prosecuted, it needs to be examined by the media, and in carving out some media as unable or untrusted to do that, it is a significant blow.
Well, Monica, let's unpack then what Pauline Hanson's strategy is and whether voters here are willing to tolerate it. It does seem to be out of Donald Trump's playbook, and to a degree, it has worked for Donald Trump, hasn't it? He favours certain media outlets like Fox, and he tends to take legal action against the ones he doesn't like.
Can I just tell you that?
You said that it was
You're
up to Secretary
Hanson. You're the most obnoxious reporter in the whole place. Let me just tell you, you are an obnoxious a terrible reporter.
Yes, it has worked for Trump to an extent, though. But, you know, it hasn't stopped in the United States his behaviour being called out in legacy media whenever he does something that is particularly revolting and obnoxious and offensive, and particularly when he does it towards women.
I said, Caitlin, do you have a smile? Smile. You have a nice position. You're at CNN fake news. You should be a happy person. So smile, Caitlin, just smile.
I mean, look, you know, will it work here? I don't know. I think even Hanson supporters would consider her behaviour to be odd, even rude, I think. I mean, Australians, I think, broadly recognise that in democracies, public figures don't get to pick and choose who covers them, and they certainly don't get to dictate what's said about them. And I think Australians broadly would reject and be critical of a media that kowtowed to a politician, any politician, by reporting on them in the way that they want to be reported. Their alarm bells would go off. I think the problem here is that the polls are showing that, you know, as we know, One Nation's popularity is rising in some weeks quite dramatically, in other weeks not so dramatically. So not reporting her through the lens of political scrutiny and going light on her just to maintain good favour with her is problematic, because it means that voters aren't being exposed to critical reporting that tells them who the party is, what it stands for, why this is good or bad for Australia. I mean, if Hanson gets away with banning reporters from media organisations who are prepared to do that kind of reporting, that critical reporting, then all she is getting is favourable coverage from media organisations that she likes, like Sky, for example. And even though, you know, Sky doesn't have a massive audience, it does have strong social media presence, which means that One Nation's message is reaching Australians absent the critical analysis. And that is problematic.
Well, on Radio 3AW, Pauline Hanson said that the ban might not last forever if she's given, she says, a fair go.
I did it in 1996 for 9 months with the ABC. And finally, they started, you know, doing fair reporting. It won't be forever and a day, but it's like putting out a message. Give us a fair go. Don't twist and...
Well, we know what a fair go means for Pauline Hanson. A fair go means that you don't criticise her. A fair go means that you can ask her questions politely about her position, but when she says something that is deserving of another question or two or three, or critical analysis, or even balanced by another voice, she'll reject that. That is very, very clear. I was interested to see the spotlight interview with Pauline Hanson, where she was pushed on some of her views, and she seemed to actually handle that quite well. So I don't know why she's so afraid of media, because she can hold her own ground and argue her position, whether you agree with it or not.
I don't mean to be disrespectful, but that patriotism, if I can dress it up like that, it's almost a cliche, isn't it?
I don't care what people say. That's who I am. Yes, I've had everything thrown at me over the years because I've stood my ground on many issues, but still at the end of the day, I have to be true to myself, but also true to the people.
In that interview, I think it felt to me that she felt she had the upper hand. Now, all she needs to do, if she really believes in her position, is to carry that across and argue in the same way and explain herself and her policies to the Australian voting public if she wants their vote. And she has to do that across the board with all media. And if she doesn't do that across the board with all media, then the problem becomes ours as a society. But I think politicians, other politicians calling her out is good. The MEAA calling her out is good. But I think we need to get to a point where journalists stand up and say, if that's what you're going to do to our colleagues, then we're not talking to you either, and starve her of that outlet. She will still have access to a voting public via her own social media, but word will still get out that she is not being covered for these reasons, and that is not in the interest of Australian voters who she wants to bring on board.
Right, well, Monica, let's consider then what this sort of action means for democracy. Now, as you note, a number of MPs, they have been expressing concern about this. The Nationals leader, Matt Canavan, is one of them.
Well, I don't like it. I think as a public representative, I should make myself accessible to the public.
And the Green Senator, Sarah Hanson-Young, she's branded Pauline Hanson a coward for chucking media out. And the Labor frontbencher Amanda Rishworth on Channel 9, she really said that Pauline Hanson needs to stand up and answer questions.
I don't know why she would want to bar ABC, The Age, The Guardian. I'm not sure who was left at her press conference. So
what is at stake if some media organisations are actually barred from asking Pauline Hanson questions?
I mean, it's interesting that she's been called a coward. I don't see it as cowardly behaviour. I see it as authoritarian behaviour. Mm. In Australia, of course, there's no constitutional protection for press freedom. And perhaps this is an example of why we need it. But there is no constitutional protection for press freedom. So the Fourth Estate, which is critical to democracy, rests on, if you like, a series of practices and understandings. Conventions, if you like. So we know, you know, Trump, for example, delights in smashing those practices and conventions. And he's amassed an enormous following for doing just that because he's entertaining and he's amusing. Now, is Pauline Hanson as entertaining and amusing when she does it? I think not. But there's another danger, and that is that when someone comes along, a disruptor comes along and challenges the way we've done things and the way Australians expect things ought to be done, that is, that they can trust a media to put questions to people who hold power, the public can become acclimatised to that really, really fast. They can begin to consider that those practices and conventions are silly or were never needed.
Mm.
Now, we already got a problem in Australia and indeed globally with trust in media. It is at an all-time low. So people don't need very much to tip them over the edge to thinking, you know, good on her for telling the media that they're all stupid and they're liars and they can't be trusted, because we know that they can't be trusted. We already have that bed of mistrust. That mistrust becomes the norm. And because it's in relation to the Fourth Estate, you know, the public interest journalism, where there are accepted facts in the public square, where independent journalists are expected and relied on to do the digging and the investigations to keep politicians honest, then that is smashed and democracy suffers. So it is a very, very, I think, it's a pivotal moment and it's a very dangerous moment.
So is there then, Monica, any way to stop this? How do we ensure that One Nation does face the scrutiny it should ahead of this Victorian poll in November, but also, of course, ahead of a federal election in a few years' time?
It's hard to imagine, for example, Sky News reporters walking out in protest at her banning ABC reporters or Guardian reporters or Nine Media reporters.
Mm.
But as I said earlier, Sam, I think the only way at this point in time is for journalists to band together and boycott her. Leave her to the penetration she has via social media. It won't be enough. The only way we get around this problem is by the practitioners acting as a group, as a whole. It's not a matter, as some on the right would say, of, you know, expressing solidarity in a Marxist kind of way. That's not what this is about. This is about journalists saying, we are journalists because we believe in truth, in verified facts, in being able to hold people and power to account. And if you are telling me that the only way I can do my job is if I agree with you and I do not scrutinise your behaviour, then I can no longer be true to my ethics and be true to my role as a journalist, and I'm not going to play this game.
Monica Attard is a professor of journalism practice and co-director of the Centre for Media Transition at UTS. This episode was produced by Ilaria Brophy and Louise Mylan. Audio production by Cinnamon Nippard. Our supervising producer is Sydney Peed. I'm Sam Hawley. Thanks for listening.